I've been working through it fairly quickly. My plan was never to do a long, detailed study of this book. I'm not sure, to be frank, whether I could do a long, detailed study of this book. We've been trying to sort of get a hold of the big picture. And I have sometimes done a chapter at a time. But this evening, we are going to read a smaller portion from the letter or from the prophecy and focus our attention just for a little while on it. So Revelation chapter 14, starting to read at verse 1. I'm going to finish at the end of verse 5. Revelation chapter 14, starting to read at verse 1. Then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound from heaven like a roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. These are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they remained virgins. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among mankind and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. Now, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been focusing on chapters 12 and 13. And in these two chapters, we read about what I called this morning the unholy Trinity. We read about the dragon, Satan, the beast that comes out of the sea, anti-Christian government, and the beast that comes out of the earth, anti-Christian religion. Together, they attack the Church of Jesus Christ. They seek to persecute it. Now, last Sunday evening, I was walking home. Someone from the church here was walking alongside me, and they were honest enough to say that they found it somewhat discouraging. And I think I can understand why they said that. It's all about the persecution of Christians. Well, these verses that we're looking at tonight are, I think, very encouraging as opposed to discouraging. It seems that Jesus knows just when to encourage us. So let's spend, as I said a few moments ago, a little while looking at something of what we are told here. What we don't read about here is the dragon. What we do read about here is the Lamb. Verse 1. The Lamb, of course, being the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And you'll see from verse 1 that the Lamb is standing on Mount Zion. The earthly Jerusalem was built on a hill or on a mountain, Mount Zion. But these verses aren't talking about that particular hill. You see, this is not an earthly scene. This is a heavenly scene. We're being given a little glimpse into the heavenly Jerusalem. And you will see that with the Lord Jesus in verse 1 are the 144,000. Now, we've already come across this 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7. And you may remember, those of you who were here, that I said this group of people amounted to the same group that's spoken about in chapter 7, verse 9 and following, the great multitude in white robes. You see, this figure of 144,000 is not I would argue, a literal number, as the Jehovah's Witnesses, of course, believe. It's a symbolic number. It's a number that stands for or represents all of God's people, all those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Look at halfway through verse 4. They were purchased from among mankind and offered as first fruits to God and the Lamb. You'll also see in verse 1 that his name, Jesus' name, or the Lamb's name, and his Father's name were written on their foreheads. Last week, we talked about the mark of the beast. They clearly do not have the mark of the beast upon their bodies. No, they have a mark upon them that links them to the Lord Jesus and to his heavenly Father. These are a people, you see, who belong to God. They are the children of God. In the last two chapters, we have seen how the beasts, headed up by Satan, seek to persecute the church. No doubt with a view to leading some into apostasy. But interestingly, not one of the 144,000 is missing from this heavenly scene. Not one that the Father has given to the Son has been lost. Every single one of them has been raised up to heaven. And here, of course, I'm picking up on what he said in John chapter 6 and verse 39. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. Isn't that encouraging? You know, we struggle in this world, we face many trials and temptations, but if we truly know and love the Lord, then we can rest assured that we will be there. If you look at verse 2 and verse 3, you will learn something about the worship that goes on in the New Jerusalem. Let me read verse 2 to you. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of rushing waters and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like that of harpists playing their harps. Now, if the music group in your church is too loud for you, don't point out this verse to them because you will only encourage them. The music in heaven, even though it seems to be a case of using harps, is very loud. Yet it's melodious and beautiful. It's not just a loud noise. And we see, don't we, that the singing is amazing too. There are no tone-deaf people singing in heaven. And if you've ever being in a service with someone who's tone-deaf singing beside you, you will recognize that this is a wonderful blessing. Everybody can sing like Pavarotti or Cliff Richard or Charlotte Church. Perhaps some other person that you think can sing well. Perhaps you don't think those people can sing particularly well. But clearly they sing well, and they sing a new song, verse 3. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. I don't think the angels join in with this particular song. You say, why do I say that? Well, because they have not been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Those who sing this song are those who know what it is to experience the wondrous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it seems that the focus of their singing is on Jesus. He is what inspires their singing. We sang a song, didn't we, at the beginning of our service, which was all about the Lamb. I will sing of the Lamb, the price that was paid for me. Well, I would suggest that's the kind of song that those in heaven sing. Let's look very quickly at verse 4. They are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they remained virgins. Please don't assume from this verse that only men will be in heaven. Neither is this verse talking about abstaining from physical sexual immorality. This verse is simply impressing upon us that whilst these people were on earth, they remained faithful to their Lord. They remained true to their Master. They did not commit spiritual adultery. They did not follow or worship the beast. And then in verse 5, we read, I think, about the perfected church or the completely sanctified church. No lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. The moment we see the Lord Jesus face to face, we shall become like him. That's a tremendous thought, isn't it? Something to really look forward to. The church is no longer the church that we see upon the earth, struggling, weak, discouraged, under pressure, imperfect, divided. No, what we see here is the church being everything that her husband, the Lord Jesus, intended her to be. No lie was found in their mouths. They were blameless. I don't know about you, but when I read verses like this, it makes me long for heaven. I'm not ready to go just yet. Perhaps I feel a little bit like the Apostle Paul in that sense. There's work to be done here. And there are things that I enjoy here. There are things that I want to do upon this earth. But you know, sometimes life does get discouraging, doesn't it? Sometimes trials and difficulties come, and perhaps it's during those times when you really feel that you long for heaven. But clearly it is something wonderful. And we thank God tonight, don't we, that we are such a privileged people that we have this glorious hope of going there. This place where we're told in one of the songs that we sing, where the streets shine. We can go there. We can go there because of you. We can go there because of the Lamb. We can go there because of the Lord Jesus.